is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 468, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I was messaging you this morning. We were talking about the weather a little bit, and like, it's a little chilly here all of a sudden. I don't know about you, but you got a little warmth there.
It was a little cooler in the mornings. It's starting to get a little cooler in the mornings, where it's like when I go to the gym, I'm just like, oh, maybe I'll put on some joggers instead of like shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like 44 here this morning when I woke up, and I was like, where did this come from all of a sudden?
That's getting it. I mean
our air conditioner has been running, and then, you know.
It is the end of October.
Already.
I know. We are in Q4 holiday season craziness. Yep. But yeah, we're back on our normal night, Wednesday nights. Because last week I was in LA for a ton of different events and some things, and got to see some cool things. I just don't understand how people live in LA and deal with the traffic. Like, I just don't. I don't get it.
You drove, right?
Yeah, I drove. So I drove up from San Diego, and then I was meeting a friend for dinner. And the dinner was 14 miles away from me.
Okay.
It took me an hour and 45 minutes to get there.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just sitting in traffic, and you're sitting in traffic. And then, like, even going different – and it's not like – so that was, like, at you know, at dinner time. Dinner was at 7, so it was, like – but any time of the day, like, I went to the Cooler Master event, which was, like, an hour away from where I was staying. And then on the way back, it's just, like, more traffic. And it's just, like, middle of the day. It's just it's always just traffic.
Ugh.
Like, I feel like obviously people, like, they have, you know, if you work from home and you live in LA, that, like, not in maybe like a coastal area, like if you're just like in LA, I don't get it, because there's just the traffic would just drive me crazy. Like, going anywhere and doing anything, yeah, it's just bad. But then, like I said, as soon as you, like, on the drive back home to San Diego, as soon as you get past Irvine, no traffic.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll talk about the Cooler Master event that I went to. I also went to a YouTube event, which was really, really cool. Got to meet some cool people there. But we have a lot to talk about this week. We have three reviews, plus all the events we're going to talk about. We have a really cool special edition Call of Duty graphics card to talk about. We're going to be talking about Battlefield 6, obviously. The Amazon Web Services outage, which you don't realize how much you rely on Amazon Web Services, or all the other companies that use Amazon Web Services. Windows 10 end of life finally happened as well. So we'll talk about that and a bunch of other stuff as well. And we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we are going to be talking about this week. Links to all the articles, all the reviews, everything like that. So if we talk about something and you want more information, it's just all going to be right there, with all the links and everything. So you are good to go. We have Old Man in the chat. Of course, good to see you here. I'm sure he'll have a keyboard deal. Wait till the end. We'll talk about the keyboard deal at the end, if you have one. But if you do have one, keep it ready for the end of the podcast, because he always does have a good keyboard deal for us. But we'll start with reviews. And Old Man, of course, knows about pre-builds. That's how he got his... Was it a...
3080.
3080. He bought a pre-built with a 3080, because if you remember back then, we had the global chip shortage and it was hard to get graphics cards, so he bought a pre-built. And, you know, pre-builts sometimes aren't great, and then sometimes companies do it well. And I feel like Lenovo did this one well. So this is their Legion Tower 7i, and this is their Gen 10. That's kind of how their products are, like, Gen whatever. So this is Gen 10. 10th generation of this Legion Tower. And as you can see, like, it is a legit tower. It looks more like a normal PC. If you think of, like, some, maybe in the past, some of the Alienwares and some of the other pre-builts from brands, they really don't look like a PC, and then they don't have proper cooling or anything like that. This is, like, designed as a proper case, like a proper system. When you do buy a pre-built, you will get a keyboard and mouse. They're USB. They're not that great. But all you'll have to do is essentially just have a monitor and you're good to go. Comes with a power cable, obviously, too. So if you were buying this, you're not going to have to go out and buy a keyboard and mouse. You do get one. And I think you can like buy other ones, and you can obviously, I think you can add a monitor onto this and everything. So when it all comes, you're just good to go. But like I said, you at least get a free kind of cheap keyboard and mouse with this. Real quickly, our system as configured, we do have the model number in the review if you want to check it out. But this comes with Intel Core Ultra 9 285K, an NVIDIA GeForce RTX 5080, a Z890 motherboard. It is like a Lenovo-based board. 64 gigabytes of a DDR5 5600 memory, 2 1-terabyte Gen 4 NVMe SSDs, and then we have a liquid cooler on the CPU. That's a 360 millimeter AIO, and then there's 3 more fans in the case or in the system, which we'll get into. Oh, price. This is expensive, but it is super high.
$3,500 or so?
Yeah, so price currently is $3,485. So not a cheap system, but it's going to be a high-end system. So this is what the system looks like. There's no other color options or no other choices as far as colors or anything like that. So this is what the tower is going to look like. It's about the size of a standard mid tower, not too small, not too big, just like the standard size. And the front has this really cool like geometric shape design, and these are actually holes. Of course, that's going to be your ventilation. You have a Legion logo there, which does light up, which I'll show you here in a second. So really sleek design. And when you pick this up, like, it's heavy, like it feels like a tank, which I think is a good thing. But this does look good, and I think it looks better in person than the pictures really give it credit for. At the top, you have a bunch of different connections. You have 3 USB-A, 1 USB-C. This USB is Gen 2. These are just USB 3.0, and this is a Gen 2 as well. So you're going to get fast speeds there. Combo headphone and microphone, and then you get your power button there. And then the top is just ventilation. There are fans behind there, which is actually nice to see sometimes in pre-builds. You don't always get that. And then we have a side panel window here, so you can see your system, which, again, doesn't always happen with pre-builds. So you have a nice side panel there. The opposite panel is just your steel panel. Here's what the back looks like. You can actually do a vertical graphics card if you really wanted to. The case does support it. You, of course, will have to provide your own riser and do all of that, but this case does support that. You can see one of the rear cooling fans there. Both side panels are held into place by thumb screws, and you can open this up. You can easily open the system up. And when you do that, this is what the main system looks like. Now, I do have a bone to pick with Lenovo, because on their website, it shows the memory as having RGB. Oh, yeah. There's no heat sinks. There's no nothing on this memory. It's just plain Jane memory. So that was my one gripe with that. Cause like, if I'm a prospective buyer and I'm looking at the photos, like I kind of want the RGB memory. So you didn't get that. But you can see our radiator is mounted in the front. There's 2 cooling fans at the top, which we'll get into. And then we have the 5080, and this is not like a Gigabyte or an Asus or, you know, an MSI card. This is a Lenovo made RTX 5080. And this is the only way you're going to get a Lenovo-made graphics card. So you buy it in the pre-built. And it has a proper GPU support. And which was really interesting to me is I've done pre-built videos or reviews in the past. And usually when they ship this, like the ship the system, there's like all kinds of styrofoam inside this main compartment. There was none. But I didn't feel weird about it because that graphics card, like, there's nothing. Like, it is securely in there with this kind of mount towards the front here. It is, like I said, this thing feels like a tank. It's awesome. Old Man says, DDR5 prices are going up. I wonder if that is affecting their supply of RGB. I don't know. It would have just been nice. Like I said, the pictures on the website show RGB, just plain Jane. Just, like I said, a little disappointed. There's a closer look at that 5080 that does light up as well, which I'll show you. And this is a 3-slot card. So it's a beefy 5080 in there. And then you can see the 3 fans. So you get 3 more fans, 2 at the top, 1 at the back. So you're getting a total of 6 fans in the system, which is pretty good, again, for a pre-build. I was quite surprised.
Can you go back? Or actually, we can see it there. Sorry, I just have a question. Okay, so you got that GPU and the bracket, right? Is that a solid bracket in kind of blocking some airflow with the radiator? I'm just curious.
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't actually even look at that.
Yeah, I'd just be curious, right? If you're blocking I don't any believe that airflow, it, or if the GPU is like affecting any of
I
that.
Believe it's open, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay,
yeah, the system's right there, but I can't see in it. So, but yeah. But then the back, like I said, you can open the back up. You can see how they did their wiring. But the cool thing about this is everything in here is upgradable, which, again, some pre-builds, it's not. This is a standard ATX motherboard. Your CPU is not soldered. You can add drives. Like, as you can see down here, this case supports 3.5-inch drives. So if you wanted to add a drive, you can easily go ahead and do that. Power supply is a light on unit. It's an 80 plus gold supply unit right there. So, you know, if you're wondering, but this is what the system looks like. But I like that it's upgradable. Like, if I wanted to put RGB memory in here, I can easily go ahead and do that. It's no weird, and there's no weird motherboard. That was the big thing with a lot of pre-builts in the past, is like, it's this weird motherboard that doesn't, you know, that you can't put in anything else if you wanted to change the case, and you can't put in, you know, say you wanted to change the motherboard out, you can't because it doesn't fit in the case or whatever it is, you know? So,
well, like, on that point, I actually just put together or installed a Alienware all-in-one, not all-in-one, but pre-built last weekend for my in-laws, and yeah, it had a 5060 in it. And so, like, there's some similarities where it's like, it also had GPU brackets. Now, the 5060 isn't like a huge card, but it was secured solidly. But it had one of those custom motherboards where it's like just this crazy shape, and yeah, there's, you know, maybe one other SATA port there, and there was an extra M.2, but you don't get that customization like you get here with this Lenovo. And the
that's why I kind of liked it, because I think brands went way far away from like customization and upgrading. And I think for a lot of people, like, a pre-built is their start into the whole PC journey, right? And I think that having this being upgradable gives them that option, right? We do have a super chat, and that's from Devon. And Devon is asking, I'm guessing this is a pre-built that you're talking about, or is this just something you're speccing out? It's a NZXT H9 Flow, which is a good case, Ryzen 7 7800 X3D, which is good, Asus X870 Max Gaming White. And then you have white 32 gigabyte DDR5 6000. That's going to be 5070 Ti. Yeah, I mean, that's a solid build overall. Anything that you see that kind of stands out?
What I think is, like, it's a good pairing of, like, sure, it's not like a 9800 X3D, right? But you've done well pairing up the level of CPU with the level of GPU. There's no like glaring bottleneck to me in this build.
Yeah, I think that it's a solid. That's a solid build. Just depends on what you're paying for it, or what, you know, how much it is to looking at. If you're building this, then you're just, yeah, you're gonna find good prices on all of these, depending on wherever you shop, Newegg, Amazon, wherever you're shopping for this. But yeah, I think it's fine. You reviewed that Corsair Nautilus, right?
The 360 RS, I think so.
Yeah, so Ryan reviewed that cooler.
Is it a Mexican brand? Asks old man. I have one of their power supplies. I mean, that's what I know.
I believe Enermax power supplies are built by. I forget who they're built by, but yeah, they're good overall. You know what I mean? Yeah, I said I feel like that build's really good. You know what I mean? If you're doing that. Yeah, the Enermax power supply. Let's see which one is that? Revolution 3. Let's bring that up real quick.
1000 watt. Yeah, I mean, I have an Enermax running in a system now, and I've had no issues.
Enermax Revolution 3. So it's 80 plus gold. ATX 3.1, so it's gonna handle everything fine. Japanese made capacitors, 12v6x2. Let's bring it up. Yeah, I mean, I don't see an issue with it. I wonder who actually makes this. Typically, when it comes to power supplies, there's like three brands that make all of them for all of these other brands. But yeah, Enermax is fine. I would say if you're going for like a, as long as it's not an unknown brand, right? So Enermax is a very well-known brand. They've been out for a long time. Yep. But if you go for like, I don't even, do you know any of those brands, Ryan?
I don't. Like they're like, they used to just come with cheap cases. Like you buy a cheap case and they come with a real cheap power supply, right? That, yeah. Typically cases don't even come with power supplies anymore.
Let me see if we can even find one.
Sticking with like a name brand is great. You're going to be pretty safe.
Yeah. So like, again, the Enermax, a Corsair, a Seasonic, NZXT. Yeah. EVGA. Yeah. So like, as long as your power supply doesn't look like this.
Oh God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want your power supply to look like that, I'd say. But overall, yeah, that's a solid build out if you're building that for yourself. So yeah. And like I said, I mean, I've had power supplies even from like lesser known brands, even like brands that are lesser known than Enermax. And I've had them running systems for like 8-9 years before
I'm running one in here.
Yeah, so it's usually not a big deal as long as it's not like an unknown brand. And Enermax, again, is a very well-known brand. Like, yeah, like this one. Here you go. Here's what you don't want. The one I showed you is like an extreme example, but this would be one too. So this is Aries Game 750-watt. Like, never heard of Aries Game at all. You know what I mean? Like, that's – and it's $60. Like, that's not what you want. So, you'll be good with that build, I think. There's nothing that stands out that's wrong with that build. Everything's good to go. The H9 flow from NZXT, that should come with the fans, I think. If it doesn't, then you just need to pick up some fans, but you should be good. Because at least the ones with fans, I think at least it comes with three in the front. You might want to pick up some extra fans, if anything. But yeah, back to the Lenovo here. Yeah, so it has the three included fans here, which is nice. Everything's wired. You're good to go. And like I said, it's built like a tank. Like, it really is built like a tank. And, I mean, you can see all the screws here. So, like, this isn't soldered. Like, you could take this AIO out and change it up if you wanted to. Like, you can do all of that in this, which is really, really nice. So I definitely like that. And like I said, the upgradability is the biggest thing for me. Because, like I said, a pre-built typically for a lot of people is like the start to their next thing. And then they see, oh wait, like I can upgrade my memory. You know, that's one of the first things. Or like I can put an extra drive in here and download more games or whatever it is. Like, everything is upgradable in this, which I definitely like. And then in terms of the lighting, this thing looks really good. So on the front, that Legion logo lights up. You have lighting on the AIO pump block. And then you have those three fans. And then, of course, you have the three fans in the front. Everything is configurable, which I will show you. But it, like, with this geometric, like, it looks good. Like, I was actually surprised at how good it looks. That's what the inside looks like. And they also have, like, an RGB strip right up here where you can't see it. And it lights up the inside. The only thing, that strip is just a white LED strip. It's not an RGB strip, so you can't configure that one. But everything else you can configure. And you can see the lighting on the graphics card. It looks good, like I said. We have our temperatures and everything like that, and our noise levels doesn't get very loud at all. And again, the temperatures are good because we have proper cooling in this. And then we have the companion software, which is the Legion software. It allows you to choose, you know, like a performance level. You can do quiet, balance, performance. By default, everything's set to balance. It allows you to change the lighting effects. And what's really cool about the lighting effects is, see, like the Legion icon lighting, you can change it per whatever it is. So it's not just like one effect for the whole thing. Like, you can set it up how you want, which is actually, this is like one of the better lighting softwares that I've seen. And even though it's not really like a lighting software, but right. It kind of is. It's one of the better lighting softwares that I've seen, which is nice. So also their software has like where you can buy games just right directly from them, or, you know, and everything, like everything's in there. Also, the software will like go into Steam, it will go into Ubisoft, it will go into Xbox, it will go into all the launchers and bring all your games into a central library. So you just open this Legion app and then all your games will be there and you just click, you know, one click launch, which is also kind of nice. So that's the software that it comes with. And then as far as our performance goes, we have all of the benchmarks and everything like that. I know you guys are mostly interested in the gaming benchmarks, which I will bring up here. And this is kind of what we run our normal graphics cards through. And this is without, most of these are without any DLSS or anything like that turned on. So if we look at this 1080p, I mean, you're maxing this out completely, well over 100 FPS in every title. 1440p, very much the same, well over 100 FPS. And that 1080p is because your CPU limited, because that's going to be your bottleneck. 1440p and then 4K, again, very much over 60 FPS, well over 100 FPS. And again, this is without DLSS turned on or anything like that. So overall, this is going to be like a 4K gaming machine for sure. Anything with a 5080 really is going to be a 4K gaming machine, going to be a great 1440p machine. And if you are playing at 1080, this system's definitely going to be overkill for you. But solid system overall. The NVMe drives, they are about 5,000 megabytes a second read and write. That's kind of what we got in our testing. So they're not using necessarily the fastest Gen 4 NVMe drives. But you can see the scores of that as well. But it is a good system. Like I said, I definitely like this system. You could build your own system with the same parts for cheaper, a lot cheaper. But for a pre-built, I think they did a really, really good job. I think the biggest thing is the price. And there's not a whole lot of bloatware on this system or anything like that. You have that Legion app, and it's going to come with McAfee antivirus. But nothing else really. I think it's a solid pre-built if that's what you're looking for. I didn't mention too, like, the motherboard's going to give you Thunderbolt 4. You know, it is a Z890 motherboard, so it's going to have all of those connections that you want. Does have Wi-Fi 6E as well, which I didn't mention. But it, like I said, it's a great system. I gave it a 9 out of 10. You know, like I said, could have used faster Gen 4 NVMe drives. And then the website shows RGB and no RGB on there, you know? So that's basically it, but definitely check out the review. Like I said, if you're looking for a pre-built, I was actually impressed with this one, and it's essentially built like a tank. So yeah. And then, Ryan took a look at, I think Ryan's using it right now. He's using, the Elgato FaceTime.
Nope.
Or face cam. I'm thinking FaceTime.
FaceTime.
Face cam 4K, which is their webcam. Yeah. And I have to say, like, if we look at Ryan.
Let's not zoom in.
Yeah.
If you don't watch every week, like, you may not be able to tell. There's some, like, slight differences, right? I'm used to typically using a Canon mirrorless camera with a 22 millimeter lens. It has a little more depth of field to it, so I've got a blurrier background with it, but there's some software tweaks you can make with this camera to get that functionality, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But
yeah,
you know, it's not bad. I've got it shared, so if you want
to
shoot it over to me, there we go, there's a quick look at it.
And one thing I like about this is, like, it's just like both Ron and I, we use like nicer cameras, like a real camera hooked up to an HDMI
capture card,
and then we set all of our camera settings. But if you're like a noob and you want to get into streaming or anything like that,
yep,
this is it's pretty small, right? I mean, that picture makes it look really big, but it's quite small, and then it's just a single connection USB. You don't have to worry about capture card or anything like that.
Correct. Yep. So let's just get right into it. This is the Elgato Facecam 4K. So as the name kind of implies, it will do resolutions up to 4K, which is pretty nice. And that's not just 30 frames per second. It'll do all the way up to 60 frames per second. So high frame rate, high resolution. Obviously, you can tweak that up or you can tweak that down if you need to, all the way down to 540p at 30 frames per second. So if for some reason you need to have like super low resolution out of this, it's capable of doing it just like many others. So comes with obviously the camera and then a nice braided USB Type-C to Type-C cable. As Bob mentioned, yeah, it's a Type-C connection on this, which I like. I like seeing the use of a Type-C connection on the back, not like a micro B connection or anything like that. And not like a hardwired cable either, right? A lot of, like the Logitech C920. I'm just going to use that because it's like the most popular webcam out there.
Yeah,
and it's still a good camera, but it's got a, you know, it has a permanent cable attached to the back of it. This gives you some options, you know, if you need a longer cable, want to do something a little different with it, which
I think the longer cable thing is the biggest thing, but yeah, but absolutely. Also like if you're traveling
just you don't have to worry about that thing like snapping off
bending or like it just makes it so much easier.
You are correct. So yeah, it's a USB type 3 or USB 3 cable capable of up to 5 gigs per second. And it's about 6.5 feet in length. So it's not super long, but it's long enough. It's braided. It's nice. Like I can't complain about it. Right.
Yeah.
It also comes with a little, stand that is adjustable in a couple, instances. It's got like, you know, rubber feet and pads on it. So if you want to connect it to like sitting on top of your monitor or even just set it on your desk and want to angle it at a different angle, you've got that option with this stand, and it uses just your standard quarter thread connection there. But let's get over to the camera itself. And here's a quick shot of it. I have the black version sample, but they also have kind of a white version, like a forest green look, and then a carbon fiber look. I think this is pretty cool. Like you're really the only person that's going to see it, but you know what? If it's sitting right in front of you, you might as well enjoy
it. Also, if you're somebody who like has like a lighter desk setup, you want the white. If you have gamerish one, maybe you want the black. If you more like modern, maybe you want the green. Like it's kind of nice to get different colors.
Yep. I think it's cool to have the option. For what you like. I really liked how they packaged this as well. Elgato's really trying to move away from using plastic in their packaging. So the inside the box, there's like a molded cardboard tray. The cable was held on with cable ties, but they were like the paper kind with the metal in them. And then, you know, the camera was wrapped up like it was a steak or something, like you buy it at a butcher shop, right? It was
making me hungry, wrapped.
Well, you can eat afterwards.
Yeah.
Here's a straight on shot of it. It does kind of look big here if you're not, you know, like familiar with its size. It's not the size of like a DSLR or anything. Don't mistake this for being the size of a huge camera. It's really not. It's not much bigger than a normal webcam, to be honest. But what that larger lens surrounding does for us is it gives us the option to use a 49mm lens filter. You can see here there's some threads on the inside, and what that allows you to do is get a little different look to your camera depending on the lens filter you're using, right? That's a more advanced style. So if you're someone using lens filters, you probably already know what they're gonna do and do for you, but it's just another advanced feature that this camera gives us. Now inside of this camera we have a Sony sensor, right? Elgato and Corsair, they don't make their own, but they use a very popular and high powered Sony sensor in this, of course, capable of that 4K resolution at 60 frames per second, which I really like. If you're a camera person, it does have an aperture with an f-stop of 4.0. So not super high ability for low light video, right? You're going to get a lot of grain and things like that in low light situations. But it does a pretty good job. Like I don't have any overhead lighting on right now. I just have my Nano Leaf on in front of me and a small light to the side. And then I've got a little bit of glow from the screens, and it's actually makes my room look brighter than when I'm running on the Canon camera. Now, those are things you can obviously tweak and adjust with software or on the camera, depending on what you're doing. But I think it does a pretty good job here. There's a little bit of graininess to this video, especially when it's, you know, larger. You can see some grain. But really, I'm really happy with the quality that you get out of this. And I've got some comparison shots here in just a second. I like the look of this too, you know, just really nice, plain looking. We got a little badge here for the face cam 4K. And then there is an indicator light right next to the lens that shows you, you know, whether the camera's on, if it's, you know, updating firmware, things like that. Just a status light. You can control the brightness of this.
Does that turn on when you're recording, or like when you, when it's, I guess,
I don't know that it, well, it doesn't go like red for recording because it doesn't necessarily know what your software is doing. Right. But it does, like right now it's blue, right?
Okay.
It's showing me that, that it's in use. Yep. So gotcha, it is a status light there.
Gotcha.
For that around back, we already mentioned it, but it does have that type C connection, and there is a little bit of ventilation on the back. It does get warm, not hot, but I like to see that ventilation there. There's no fan or anything, so you're not going to get any noise out of this, but it does have a way to dissipate some of that heat, which I think is nice.
So is there a microphone on it?
That is one thing I was going to mention. There is no hole or anything like that on the front, which means no, there is no microphone in this. This is strictly a camera device. That's kind of Elgato's thing was, hey, we're going to give you a great camera. And guess what? We've also got a great microphone or two that you can utilize, right? I'm using one right now. So it is just a webcam. When most other webcams typically have some sort of microphone.
Yeah,
in them. This is strictly a camera device. As mentioned on the bottom, we have that quarter thread opening, as well as a bit of a rubber pad there. If you were for some reason using this just sitting flat, it's going to stay in place for you. But it also gives that grip when you have it on a stand or a tripod or something like that. Here's just another shot of it. Just a really good looking camera. I like it. You know, just the plain black is what I had, like I mentioned, but it does have a little silver ring, polished metal around the edge. To just give it a little bit of a look. But let's get into some comparison shots here and talk about the software just a little bit. Camera Hub is the name of the application that you utilize to control the visual settings in this camera. So I'm going to pull up my cheesy smile here. And you can kind of see, right? We can, if you have you know, multiple Elgato cameras, it gives you the option to select which one you're using. And then you've got some framing options. So I'm not going to share. Actually, you know what? I can't. I can't show you the preview. Oh, I'm just sharing that window, not the... That's okay. We have some framing options here. So if I like click through this other view, it's going to change me around a bit, right? I've got some presets for framing. So that kind of jumps you around.
Yeah,
there we go. So I'm not like doing anything. I've already pre-programmed these. Positional settings. So that's what that framing section is there. You can customize those how you want, which is kind of cool. You've obviously got your contrast, sharpness, things like that. You can adjust your exposure. So brighter, darker. You can set it to manual, right? I just switched off of automatic, so it went super dark. But if I go back over here to automatic, flips over. You've got some white balance and some processing as well. You can adjust for like if your lights on a different frequency for some reason, you can make some adjustments
so they don't flicker. Yeah,
exactly. Anti-flicker. You've also got some, let's see here. Yeah, here's just an example of this blue section in the framing kind of shows exactly what you have set, because I can just move that box around.
Yeah,
real quick. Cool. Right. Whoops. Oh, I did it now. There we go. So I talk about those and just some of those settings. And then effects allow you to, you know, as I mentioned, blur that background a bit. So if you don't want to show exactly what you got behind you, you can use that the blur filter. There's some color filters or, you know, fake backgrounds like we're all used to using in Zoom or Teams or whatever you want there. Bob was making fun of my picture where it's just like everything is fine. This is fine.
That's what your face looks like.
Yeah. Just like, yeah. So you've got some of those options, and you can add your own pictures in the background if you want to do that as well. And then we have like some LUTs. So these are available to give you just a different coloring look, kind of. These are real popular with like Instagram and those types of apps, or just like when you're going for a certain aesthetic, right? You can get some of that done there. Buy some pre-builts or adding your own LUTs. So you've got some options for coloring and things like that, right? Give yourself a little different skin tone. depending on what you need. But you've got all sorts of options in here to customize, right? Super easy software to use. And there's also a prompter section with the software as well. So if you have one of Elgato's prompters, you can tie it in and pair these things together and utilize them with that as well. Here's kind of a difference here. This is a side-by-side. So I'm taking, you know, I've got the two cameras next to each other. The one on the left here is actually my mirrorless camera. The one on the right is the Elgato. And I tried to go for like as close to color accurate as possible on these, but you could tell the difference between that background lighting and, you know, some of that look there. So I've just got a couple comparison shots, and that was like after a day of being out in the sun all day, and so I'm like super red in the in these. But
you look
and
then with different, right now. I feel like I look super red right now.
Oh man, I got burned that day. I was outside for like four soccer games. But yeah, here's another shot with just, you know, a little different lighting in the environment and some of the look that you get and detail comparisons, fields of view, so on and so forth, right? You can crop in and out. So overall, just a really nice camera if you're looking for an upgrade.
Here's what I want to know, because I didn't actually ask you this. Mm-hmm. So actually, so on your camera, so if you're looking at me, go like this.
I know what you're gonna, yeah.
Will it do that?
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Like, it's actually kind of, I don't know what the, and it's not as noticeable, right? Because the background is
still pretty sharp, won't blur, right? But it,
and it's a prime lens. So it has a set focal depth. So it's not as pronounced as like our.
Yeah. And just for reference, cameras. For reference, guys, this, my camera
is super,
when I bought it was $1,000. Like I said, this is $1,000 camera. So just for reference. You know,
that quick change in focus is one of those features that you're paying for.
Yeah.
But speaking of price, this is around right at $200.
Which I think here's the thing that I think this is at least from how I see this product is you have the Logitech C920, right? You have that set of webcam where you just plug it in, you really don't change anything. It's just the webcam, right? You can't really, I mean, Logitech software, you can do some, but like, this is kind of the middle road. This is a little bit higher price point, right? You know, but then you have the threads where you can put on a bunch of different filters. And I feel like the software is a lot more in depth. And I feel like also the hardware behind the camera is a little bit better than what Logitech uses, but you're getting the ease of use of the C920, right? You're getting the plug-in USB, load the software. You don't even have to. You don't even have to load it. Yeah, But like, plug it in and you're good to go. I think that's where this sits. So I think for somebody who maybe getting into streaming or getting into, their gameplay and all of that, but they want something that's just going to be a little bit better than a C920.
Yep,
that would be. I think
another great feature of this as well, though, is that camera hub and this camera can integrate well with the Elgato Stream Deck, right? So you want to switch those presets of like certain views, bam, just hit a button on your Stream Deck and pop over to those views. So you obviously have all that integration there as well. I gave it an 8 out of 10. There is no microphone in it. Is it a negative? A little bit, right? I think you could still include it. You can always use the option to shut it off if you had it, in my opinion. And then the low light performance is lacking just a little bit. You get pretty grainy as soon as you lose that lighting in the environment. But, I mean, you got up to 4K, 60 frames per second output. You've got those filters, the Type-C connectivity, the camera hub software, and integration just in that Elgato ecosphere is great.
So, how do you feel about the $199 price?
I kind of wish it was maybe $175, $180.
$200 is okay. Black Friday, Cyber Monday is coming up.
That is true. So I would expect to possibly see this. They do have some other cameras as well. If you're looking for maybe a different option there, but I'm pretty good with the $200 price point. It doesn't bother me too much.
Gotcha. Yeah. So definitely check out the review. Great review by Ryan. And then I took a look at, actually, I'll just make myself big so you can see this. Actually, real quick, old man in the chat said he was looking at cheap laptops and they still have 720p cameras. Sure. I reviewed a nice laptop that still had a 720p camera. Like, they're just, yeah, because that's just an afterthought when it comes to the laptop, because they don't, you know, a 720p would be like that. Ah, you can still do Teams on that or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really think about it. Yeah. But I took a look at this keyboard, which, if you look at this, does this look like a gaming keyboard?
No, it just looks like you're, you know, kind of a standard, not not total custom keyboard, but like a nice sounding, like nicely built mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, so this is the Keychron K8HE Wireless Special Edition. And before I get into like the specs, it's special edition because the special editions have two colorways. This is the white colorway. And the cool thing about this, and again, I'll make myself big real quick on the screen, is that, you know, all whites with the white keycaps and everything like that. But if you look, we have real wood accents there. Yeah, so this is actually real wood. It gives me that like modernist kind of look, minimalist kind of look. I really, really like the colorway on this. And I feel like it looks better in person than what I'm showing you. But it's, like I said, definitely a very nice keyboard. So it's their K8HE Wireless, which you can get not in this special edition. And it looks black. It looks like a gaming keyboard. But again, we have the special edition here. And it has all the gaming features. So this is a magnetic switch keyboard. If you're not familiar with magnetic switches, basically, they're like a mechanical switch, except you can configure everything. So if I want to just press the switch down or the key down 0.2 millimeters, and that's going to be my actuation, mm-hmm. you can set that. And you can set it for each individual switch. You can also set it so if I press it down a little bit, it does one action. If I press it down a little bit more, it does another action. If I press it down a little bit more, it does another action. If I let go of the key, it does another action. If the switch starts going back up, it automatically resets. I don't have to wait for the switch to reset. So in a mechanical keyboard, when you press a key down, you have to wait for that switch to reset. With this, you don't have to do that. You can also do, you know, which some people, it's banned in Counter-Strike, but you could do the snap tap. You could do a bunch of things. Like I said, the one where you can constantly press the key and you don't have to wait for it to reset, that's called rapid trigger. You can go ahead and do that. Like, if you're a serious gamer, a magnetic switch keyboard is what you want because you can fine tune it. You know, when you buy a mechanical keyboard, you're set to what those switches do. So if their actuation point is a certain you know, distance down, that's what you have to get used to. With this, you can just change it to whatever you want. On top of all of the other features that I just mentioned. And this, like I said, this is a really, really good looking keyboard. All white design, double shot PBT keycaps. They're in the OSA profile, which I haven't used a lot of OSA, but it's a medium height keycap with sort of oval kind of shaped tops. It's very comfortable. It's not far off from like a Cherry profile on the keycap. So it's not like, well, remember those Lord of the Rings keyboards?
Oh yeah, those were tough.
Those had a higher in like those were really weird.
What does this have?
This is the OSA.
Were the others like SA?
They might have been SA. Yeah, they were really bad. This is OSA, very comfortable. It didn't take me any time at all to get used to typing on this keyboard or anything like that. As far as the design goes, this is a TKL or 10 keyless keyboard. Quite popular, again, when it comes to gamers. Nothing real crazy about the overall design, as you can see. Two accent keys right here on escape and enter. We have indication LEDs. So this one's for when you have it plugged in. It shows you like that it's getting power and that you're charging it if you're charging it. This is wireless connectivity. And then this is your caps lock here. Beyond that, pretty standard overall. The top here is going to be aluminum plate. And then that's what those keycaps look like. Again, double shot PBT. Under there, we have, these are Gateron Gateron double rail magnetic switches. So they have a, they're a linear switch. They, their start force is 40 G's and then their end force is 60. And again, you can set that actuation point from 0.2 millimeters to 3.8 millimeters. So again, you can set that. And then this is an exploded view of the keyboard, multiple sound dampenings and foams and things like that. This has a really good sound profile. We have the sound test in the review if you want to check it out, but it does sound quite good. And then on the side, which I'm not a fan of, is going to be that Type-C connectivity. This is one of the two things I don't like about this keyboard, is that the Type-C is on the side. So if you want to use this wired, you really can't use like an aftermarket cable or something like that, because it's going to get bent around. Secondly, the included cable, which does have a 90 degree connector, is the shortest cable that I've ever received with a, what's it called? With a keyboard. It just is. And I don't even know if you can even see it in my shot. Can you see my system? No, my system, my system's like right here. And I couldn't plug in this keyboard to my system that's sitting on my desk next to me. So it's the shortest USB cable that you're going to find with the keyboard. So I didn't like that either. But like I said, you get that. And then there's a toggle for Windows or Mac. And then there's a toggle for your tri-mode connectivity. So this does have 2.4 gigahertz as well as Bluetooth. And then you can use it wired as well. And there's just a toggle for that. Really easy to get everything. And then there's height. So this is how it sits normally. You get one set of adjustments and then a second set to make it even higher. And those are just, you know, made possible by the pop-out feet here. Pretty simple keyboard overall. And then if we go into the software, so this keyboard, what's kind of nice about this keyboard is it does support QMK. So if you're a QMK user, you can just configure it that way if you want to. But they do have their own launcher, which is web-based. It's actually really nice. You can fully reprogram the keyboard. This is where you're going to set like your actuation distance. And again, this is for each individual key. You can set up rapid trigger. You can, and again, you can like the trigger demo shows you how far down you're pressing the key and it gives you a number. So like, oh, if you're like, oh, that feels good, I don't have to guess what my actuation point is. It will tell you, which is nice. This is where you set your DKS, you know, your snap tap, all of that stuff you can set in here, which is really, really nice. Fully reprogram the keyboard. Easy to go ahead and do that. Your lighting settings. And then it has a full-on macro editor as well. The only thing I didn't like about the web-based software is that you have to use it in wired mode. You can't use it wirelessly, which was a bit of a bummer because, again, that cable is so short. So, and if you want to make a change really quickly, say you're using it wirelessly, then you got to go find that cable. It's like, you know what I mean? So that's another thing that I didn't necessarily like about this keyboard. Now, the keyboard itself is incredibly comfortable. It feels really, really good. And the sound profile is good too. So like I could totally leave this. I have another keyboard to test, but if I didn't, this would sit in front of here because one, it looks great. It's wireless, which I like. And the lighting is actually good, especially kind of darker here right now. But like, I mean, it's kind of hard to see now, but like the lighting is actually quite good on this, even though we don't have like see-through legends or anything like that. Something I just opened on my computer. I just hit with this keyboard. So I don't know what just opened, but yeah, like I said, the lighting's quite good too, as you can see, but it's just like, it's a good keyboard and it's not priced bad either. It's $139.99, which I don't think is crazy for a magnetic switch keyboard. That's tri-mode. You know, like I said, I just wish that USB cable was a bit longer. And I wish you could use the software, you know, when you're in wireless mode. That's kind of the only thing. And again, it's QMK compatible. Most keyboards that you're seeing from like the big brands aren't going to be QMK compatible. That's a very in-depth software for reprogramming your keyboard if you're not familiar. And yeah, so, you know, but yeah, that's kind of the only thing. Like I said, I really don't like keyboards that have the USB port on the side. I'm just not a fan, especially if I want to use a custom cable. I just don't like that either. But overall, like I said, I still gave it 9 out of 10. I think the price is good. I think it's a really well-made keyboard as well. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. And we'll move quickly because we're at 50 minutes.
I was going to say,
this is what when we have good products and we're talking
about we like to talk about them.
Yeah, we like to talk about them. That's the best thing about the podcast is when we have good stuff that's not like a simple product, we like to talk about it. But talking about cool products, I was invited to the grand opening of the Cooler Master North America headquarters in City of Industry up it's like right outside of LA. They're right next to MSI, which is pretty cool to see because I've never seen MSI headquarters there. And with this headquarters, they were telling me it has, and you could see it's a warehouse as well. So a lot of the products that will get shipped to Newegg or whoever will get shipped from this warehouse and allows them to stock up on product too. So when you're looking for Cooler Master products, they probably won't be out of sale because they have this big warehouse now where they can, you know, hold all of those products. And we got to see some of the new products. A lot of these we did get like first previewed at Computex, but I'm going to go through them very quickly. Their MasterFrame case, which literally just came out. This is actually pretty cool because it's a case here. And as you can see, it's essentially a frame. And then you have all these pieces over here. And it has this rail system. So you can configure this however you want. You can configure it like a standard case. You can configure it completely differently. And Liquid House, our friends at Liquid House were there. And they had a couple custom builds showing you the different configurations that you can do. And they had a bunch with the different configurations. Now, this is going to start with the MasterFrame 600, and then it will go down. They might have one bigger, but there's going to be like this is like extended ATX, ATX, and then they're going to have a micro ATX and mini ITX, and then they might have one that's like really, really big. But the one thing I really like about this is the entire frame is aluminum, not steel. So it's very, very high quality. And again, you can see all the rails, like that whole rail system. So pretty cool on that case. And then they had their Cube 540, which is going to be a very affordable case. And as you can see, it has all these holes in it. And that's for 3D printing. So they're going to have a bunch of 3D printing files that you can 3D print, like, again, like stands for, you know, your headset. On the other side of this one, they like the side panel, the backside panel has all these holes on it as well. And you'll be able to, like, they had one where it was like a key, like you could mount your keyboard back there. You can do a bunch of stuff with this. I'm not sure if this one comes flat packed. The previous one, the actual Cube 500 that's been out for a while, that one came flat packed and it was kind of like a project you kind of built. I'm not 100% sure if this one comes flat packed, but it's going to be very affordable, $69.99 for that case. Then we saw their MasterFrame 360 Panorama S. So if you're somebody, I think Ryan, if we look behind Ryan, do we see anything? Do we see any characters?
I mean, there's a Deadpool back.
Yeah, there's some characters back there. So this is actually a pretty cool case. So one thing I really like about this is that in most cases, you have a side panel or a front panel that you can see into your system. This is glass on all sides, besides the back and the top, obviously, but it's glass all around. And there's a central column where you're going to mount your hardware. And then in the front, they have this sort of place where you, like I said, you can see there's a character there. They're also going to have a version where this back part's going to be a screen if you don't put a character there. And with your character, they're going to, like, you see like these little lights right here that shine down on the character.
That's cool.
And I believe you can change the color. Like, if those are just RGB, so you can change the colors. So pretty cool. That one's going to be $199. Not sure when that one's going to be out. We also got to see their new 3D heat pipe coolers. If you're not familiar with 3D heat pipe, it's essentially like all the other CPU coolers that you probably has ever seen is, you know, your heat pipes are in a U and they go around. So like right here, you just have heat pipes on the outside. But on 3D heat pipe, you have heat pipes that go through the center of the heatsink, making it more efficient. So they're going to start this series out with their very popular and essentially iconic Hyper 212. Mm-hmm. Two versions. This is an RGB version. This is a non-RGB version. $29.99 for this one, $34.99 for this one. And again, they only need two traditional heat pipes and then the two 3D heat pipes in the center because it's going to be very efficient cooler. And then they're going to have their V4 3D heat pipe, which is essentially the same thing as the Hyper 212. same heat pipe design, but you're going to get two fans and then the top cap on this one. And on both coolers, they're 120 millimeter fans. So those are the coolers that are coming out. And the V4 is going to be $39.99. We also got to see their new fan series. So these are the new Master fans. So you have their A series, which are going to be their most expensive, all aluminum, Ryan. So the entire fan's aluminum. So the frame and the blades, and because the blades are aluminum,
they put
and a grill and on them. And this fan spins up to the aluminum one will spin up to 4,000 RPM.
Yeah, I want some protection there.
So when we saw it at Computex, they did not have grills. They added grills on these, so you're gonna get grills on these ones. Like old, like it kind of looks, kind of reminds me of old school. But yeah, you could really hurt yourself if you don't have with the aluminum blades. You could hurt yourself. So though that's the A series. Then you have the M series, which is a hybrid fan. So it has an aluminum frame, but the blades are going to be plastic. And then you have the R series, which is all plastic. So you have plastic blades and plastic frame. All the series will be available in 140 and 120 millimeter. And these fans are thicker. So these are 30 millimeters thick. So a little bit thicker, giving you a little bit better performance overall. So those are going to be coming out late this year or early Q1 of next year. And that's kind of what we saw there. They had some other things as well. But that's what kind of the main things, and it was really cool. And they had, I got to play in the big, like the Orb X thing they had. And Cooler Master now makes the sim racing as well. And it's the sim racers, that are on the actuators.
So it moves around.
So they have that as well. And they had some pretty cool cars from Acura there. They had the NSX that was the actual NSX that was in the Avengers, which was pretty cool. The Tony Stark Avengers car. So that was cool. They had a bunch of cool stuff there. We have some more content coming out on social media. And if you're not following us, especially like on Instagram, give us a follow on Instagram. It's just at Think Computers. Like, we always post, like when we're at events, all the behind the scenes stuff is always posted on our Instagram story. So make sure you're following us on Instagram. I don't think we have a banner for, no, I don't have a banner for that. But yeah, definitely follow us on social media for all the different event coverage. We'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And we have a SNEF computer design. And talking about aluminum, he built this one, all aluminum. And it is the polished aluminum.
I was going to say, the polished look with the RGB looks sick.
Oh, it looks so sick. And this is his own custom case, as he's been doing lately. Oh, man. There was, who came out with a case like this? I remember a while back. I forget who came out with a case like this. I just think of me and, like, the fingerprints. Like,
I mean, I feel like there was, like, a EK and Inwin team up or something, you know?
No, I think it was like I don't remember, but in any case, this looks sick. Astral card in there. So this is another one, Ryan, where we have just the liquid cooled CPU and the normal GPU.
Yep.
I think because it's an Astral, it's like,
right, you just want to see it.
You want to see the Astral. It's like, why just make it look like any other water cooled card? I think. What do you think of the reses in the front?
I like it. I like the rainbow lighting too. Like, and that's what I run rainbow in mine, like, most of the time. I just think it looks really good in this color scheme. And that blue looks good with it. Like, normally I would want to see like a clear or something, but I think it looks, it looks
nice. Omen says that's amazing case and build. Yeah. I kind of like want to, like, it's like thinking about my next build and I'm like, should I just like ask Snef to build me like at least a case?
No, you need to work with Liquid House.
Yeah, I know. Like, we were talking about that. We were talking about that. So Liquid House was at the Cooler Master event. And so was Paul's Hardware. So it's good to see him as well. He was there. Even just the chassis, like having, but I feel like it would just
probably be heavy.
Yeah, heavy, real heavy. But awesome even build by Snef. So shout out to him for this build. And then finally, really quickly, guys, like if you're listening to the podcast, if you're watching live right now, our contest with Valkyrie ends tomorrow. So we're giving away two of their AIOs, their Jarn 360 liquid coolers. We're giving away two of them. And there's 29 hours left. So If you're listening to this on Thursday, like, just go to the website, get it, get in. You just go up to contests up here. You click that, and then it's going to be the first one right here. You click on that. Get your entry in because, like I said, 29 hours left. You know, easy to enter this one. And like I said, you have to be subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, you're like when if I pick you and you're a winner and you're not subscribed to the newsletter, it's you get thrown away. So definitely subscribe to the newsletter. That is part of the requirement to register for the contest as well. So we'll move on to news and we'll try to run through this decently quickly. So like I said, custom RX 9070 XT. Now I'm not a Call of Duty person. I know you're not either, Ryan. But they teamed up with Call of Duty for a Black Ops 7 custom Radeon RX 9070 XT. Wonder why they didn't do an NVIDIA card, which is kind of weird. Is AMD a sponsor of Call of Duty?
That game, maybe? Possibly.
And honestly, this is a tough gaming branded card. It doesn't do it
for me. I don't know enough about like the, like what's the, is there a significance to the blue? Right, the orange for tough gaming I can like get behind,
but the blue orange, like, is that I mean, if you look
and the at Call of Duty, right? Yeah, the
yeah, orange. So it's like the blue and the orange there.
Okay,
yeah, so I guess that's the kind of, I just don't feel like Call of Duty necessarily has like a cool logo or like a cool color motif,
right? Like a theme they're known for,
yeah, because like, you know, like Cyberpunk, it was like the yellow and the neon, a little different, but for me, you know, and again, this isn't like a crazy custom card. This is a tough gaming card with essentially a skin on it, right? But if you're a Call of Duty 7 person, this would be a pretty sick card, I'd say. You know, or if you're doing like a Call of Duty mod, this would be the perfect card to put in there as well. So maybe we'll see one of those. Maybe we'll feature it on Case Mod Friday as well. 1,000 of these, limited edition, and you get the game with it as well.
Okay,
so you get the game on top of the card, which is kind of nice there as well. So pretty cool. So if you're doing a new, if you're building a new computer for Call of Duty, might as well get the game and a graphics card. So I definitely like that. Moving on from there, this is like expected. So ROG Xbox Ally just came out. That's of course the collab between Asus ROG and Microsoft for a Xbox themed handheld. And it runs Windows, you know, like a lot of gaming handhelds. And like most gaming handhelds, if you install Linux on it or SteamOS, it's going to run better. You're going to get better performance. Like Windows on mobile, you like, not to like go on, because I know we're like 10 in time, but like Windows phones were just clunky and like the OS just like was never great. I feel like gaming handhelds are like the same thing. Like the Windows experience on, right.
You gotta run Windows and then you can run your game,
right? Yeah, it's just like, you know, so this is from what's this guy's name on YouTube. So this is from Cyber Dopamine. So we have the video of course in the article. He installs Linux on ROG Xbox Ally, gets a lot of better performance. What was it, 32% higher FPS in some games compared to Windows 11. So lots of things in Windows 11 causing that, you know, it's not a great, it's a clunky experience, and two, it bogs down the system, as you can tell, with this. And the thing that sucks about that is that, you know, certain games like Battlefield 6 require certain things that only run on Windows as well. So you're not going to get Battlefield 6 on like the mobile side of things because it requires that if you wanted to run Linux, but Linux will perform better overall. From there, new naming for Core Ultra. So this is on the mobile side of things, but this is how they're going to do their naming for Panther Lake, which is going to be the upcoming architecture for, you know, new CPUs. So we have a Core Ultra X series, and then a standard series, and then a U series that's going to be their ultra efficient, really portable devices. So you're going to get, essentially, it's going to be Core Ultra X9, Core Ultra X7, and then Core Ultra X5. The X, at least for mobile, is going to mean that it's going to have more integrated graphics cores. So these are going to be like the laptops that you could, without discrete graphics, that you could maybe play some games on, right? And then just the normal Core Ultra 9, 7, and 5. And then the U's are going to be their lower power and everything like that. And I would just hope we stick with this for like an extended period of time now, because we have, we're now in Core Ultra on the desktop as well. And again, it's, they still kept the naming as far as like the 9, the 7, the 5. Hopefully that sticks. I just, the, this naming on the end is, I don't like.
Yeah, I just haven't been a fan of it altogether, the change. And it's, I don't know.
Yeah. And I get it that it's the third generation. So that's the 300, like the 300 naming, and then the 8, like, but yeah, it's still a little confusing, but it's not as confusing as I thought it would be. So we have that. Corsair did launch their Air 5400. We saw this at Computex. This is our case that's really designed around airflow. Pretty interesting design. It is going to be a larger case. Tri-chamber. It's three separate chambers. So this is a chamber, and then the backside's a chamber. So you can see how like air goes into it. It's actually designed quite well for airflow. And I do like the way this one looks as well, but pretty cool case. Just came out, and then like I said, it does look quite nice, and it has like air guides. You can see kind of in this photo, there's like actual air guides in this that are guiding air in the optimal direction.
Yeah, they're at the top too, which is nice.
Yeah,
I did want to highlight a comment or a question that popped in, but it's going to be a real quick answer of that's way too broad of a question.
Yeah, the best PC for streaming in high FPS games. I mean, it all really depends on your price level, like how much money do you want to spend, and then you kind of go from there. The system that we just took a look at, that's like RTX 5080 base, that's going to be 4K. What would you say like the 1440p card would be, like like on the low end, 5060 Ti? 5070?
On the lowest.
Yeah, so like 5070 would be 1440p, and then 5060 Ti will be 1080p. So that kind of gives you your base. And then
when you do throw streaming into it, it also depends on what game you're playing, right? Because I've been actually struggling to stream Battlefield 6 with a 5080 on a single system machine. Now, it could be due to running a 5800X 3D and trying to do all of it, but yeah, just a lot of factors go into that. So if you give a budget, it's a little easier answer to get you, but yeah.
So talking about custom keyboards, this is kind of interesting keyboard. So QWERTY Keys has teased their QK65 MK3. It's the only photo we have of it is this one. But essentially there's a screen here, and it's built for like mini games. And like there's two buttons here, so like you can play mini games on it, but I don't know, is that just like Tetris, or is that something like more like I don't know.
It looks neat, but
yeah, and in the keyboard itself has like that retro Nintendo look to it, so maybe those and it's next to a Game Boy, so like, and that's an actual OG Game Boy too. But it's pretty cool. It's something a little different. How much you would use that? Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's neat.
But pretty cool. So they tease that. It should be around 165, 175 for that mechanical keyboard. So pretty cool there. Here's a warning to you guys. If you are building your own PC, we talked about the power supplies and buying like unknown brand power supplies. That's the thing you shouldn't do. Apparently thermal paste is going to be another thing. And I've bought cheap thermal paste in the past, just like the cheapest one on Amazon. And I didn't have any issues, but a lot of people are having some issues with this Korean made thermal paste that actually corrodes your CPU and the coolers. And this is from Amtech. This is their SGT4 from Amtech. And this is what it's doing to coolers, and it's also damaging CPUs. And the guys over at Igor's lab did a whole thing, and they have a ton of photos. That's just the one photo that we used. Like, you can see it on all of these photos. So don't buy this. I wouldn't, you know, it's going to, and again, if it's doing that to the copper, it's definitely messing up your CPU a little bit as well, and you just don't want that. So I would not You know, and they have a whole video and everything. So don't buy this. Again, it's the AMTech SGT4. Don't buy it. I would not buy it. So yeah, just a warning for you guys. So do you use Amazon Web Services or something that uses Amazon Web Services?
Use things that use it.
Yeah. So it's so funny. So this happened. When did this happen? Monday night or Tuesday night?
Monday night or in like early Monday, early Tuesday morning, I feel like is when.
Yeah. So we noticed. So it was so interesting. So I didn't, you know, and I must have been really early to figure out it was. So I was going to bed and I have an Amazon Alexa and I told Alexa to turn off the lights and it just did nothing. Mm. And I'm like, maybe it's just like the hub that I have in my bedroom. So I have a hub out here and I like used it, nothing. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it's the light. Like maybe there's an issue with the light. I just need to unplug. And then I asked it to turn on these lights, nothing. And then I go, is Alexa down? And there was nothing on like down detector or anything yet. And then I like uninstall the Alexa app on my phone. I'm like, oh, maybe there's just an issue. Reinstall it. Go to log in. And I can't log in. I get to like their are you human thing. And I'm like answering the question correct every time. And it's just like bringing just up another
back and back,
bringing up another question. I'm like, something's wrong. And then by the time I got done doing all that, I went back on like down detector and they're like, yeah, like the spike was like, So, and if you like all the services, if you think about it, like there were so many services that were down, and for people who are so reliant, like I'm reliant on it, not reliant, but I use it for my lights and things like that. And if you're so used to it, you're like, wait, I have to go find the actual app for the smart lights.
And then you got to like log into it. And then even so, if that app is running on AWS for its hosting, right, it could be down.
Yeah. Right?
Like there's so many of these sites here in this screenshot. It doesn't mean that they're directly using, you know, they're hosted on Amazon or something. But one of the services that they use to host and provide their services could have been, right? So it just like
and you compounds. Have to think too, there's like, what, 3 to 5 of these services total, right? There's Amazon, there's Microsoft, there's like a handful
Google,
of them.
Yeah. Right?
Like every website and service that we use, because again, it's the Internet of Things, are on one of these 5 services, right?
Yeah.
And it could just like totally shut down your house, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I noticed it. By the next morning, it was back up. I don't even know if they said what the issue was. It says a DNS issue with AWS's DynamoDB database service was identified as the primary cause.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we had to make some notifications on our intranet for a couple services and platforms that we utilize at work saying, hey, like we're aware of it. Our platforms that we use are aware of it. Like everybody's just like waiting for it to resolve. So that's part of the, you know, you give away some of that control when you go to the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. You pay for that for them to host it, but you lose control of it. So you kind of have to sit back and wait, and you got to just weigh that risk.
Yeah. I don't even know if because we use Cloudflare for our storage on the website. So I don't even know. I don't believe we were down, but I don't know. But previously, like a year ago, we used AWS for our storage, for our images and stuff like that on the website. So it could have been broken. I went to bed. I was like, I'm not even going to try to mess with this. Like, I'm going to bed. So that was kind of interesting. Also, real quick, we did talk about it last week a little bit because we were getting close to the date. But Windows 10, EOL. And Ryan finally upgraded, which is definitely a good thing there. Also, Windows 11, the October update broke the recovery environment. So I'm sure if you've ever restarted, like your Windows won't boot or something, you get into your recovery mode, which looks like this, you know, and you get in there.
Use your keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, and it breaks the USB, so you can't use a keyboard and mouse. To go into the recovery environment. So that's being worked on. like I always said, the state of Windows 11 is just not great. And then finally, Battlefield 6, we talked about it. You know, they were trying to break records with the release of the game and sales, and they did 7 million copies in 3 days. Jeez. And I have to say, well-deserved, because they did the launch correctly, available on all platforms, also not like crazy demanding for the game. And they had so much, like they worked with streamers to have streamers have the game before it came out. So like they were streaming it all week before it came out. Like they had everything in line for this launch, which was probably one of the best launches that I've seen.
Other than their launcher having day one.
But like the hype for the game, and it came out at the perfect time. Like there's nothing, I mean, Call of Duty, yes, but like everything else is like, there's nothing, especially when the free week, the free weekends came, the betas. And again, the betas were like anybody could play the beta, you know, the beta weekends were like, there was nothing else going on really. It was just the perfect launch. So shout out to them, 7 million copies, which is crazy. 172 million matches played and 15 million hours watched on streaming platforms during the launch weekend. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, so we'll be playing that. Of course, we're going to be jumping on Twitch here in a bit. Also, what we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at the Lianli O11 Dynamic Mini V2. So this is the long-awaited upgrade to the O11 Dynamic Mini, which is sitting beside me because it's my main system. And I have the white flow version, which comes with 5 included fans. So I have this one right here. So we'll be taking a look at that next week. And then Ryan has a simple but useful device. It's the Hype-powered USB hub. So usually on most motherboards, internal headers for USB is going to be 2. And if you have like an AIO and then something else, you use them. So this takes 1 USB connection and gives you what, 4 of those?
Yep.
Yeah. So Ryan, yeah. And it's like a simple device. It's $30, but it's simple and incredibly useful. I use the NZXT one of this for a very long time. So very useful. Ryan will have that for you next week as well. We might have some other stuff. Just depends on what's going on. We'll skip the question of the week because we're already an hour and 17 into the podcast. But yeah, we're going to be jumping over to Twitch. So twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan's going to try to have that stream running, right?
Yeah, we're going to give it a try, but we'll play it by ear.
Yeah, we'll play it by ear. But we're going to be over there playing. If Ryan goes down, maybe I don't know. My system will try to stream it, but we'll see. My system's having some issues, but we are going to be over there. So that's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Of course, thanks for everybody in the chat. Hopefully we answered all of your questions. Of course, Old Man Defaulted Vault was in here. We had Devon Tor. And yeah, everybody else is in the live chat. We definitely appreciate all you guys, and we will see everybody next week.